If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 John chapter 2. We'll be reading from verse 9 and 11. I'll read it. Listen now to the word of God. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll pray before we go into today's message. God, speak to us today in a voice so clear we won't miss it. Lord, and help us not to just hear your words, but to accept them into our hearts. Lord, we need your word in order to live a life that's pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, we don't want to live according to the patterns of this world. We don't want to live just according to our own thoughts. But Lord, we want to allow the word to go deeply into our hearts and let it affect the way that we live. So Lord, change us, move us, transform us. For some of us who need a little bit of shaking, Lord, would you shake us with your word? Lord, for those of us who have been living very comfortably, living according to our own lifestyle, living according to our own thoughts, Lord, would you bring us back onto the path, Lord, towards you with our eyes fixed on you. Lord, your word is the light, your word is the lamp unto our feet. So Lord, would you allow us to walk in a way that pleases you. We thank you, God, for the blessing that is your word. Lord, that you don't just leave us in the dark, but you want us to have light. You want us to have security. You want us to know where we're going. So Lord, allow us to open up our eyes at this time. Bless us with the presence of the Holy Spirit so that the words that I speak are not my own. But Lord, your word is flowing through me. Lord, empower us with the Holy Spirit to have spiritual ears and spiritual hearts so that the word can take fertile, would fall upon fertile soil and take root inside of our hearts and affect the way that we live. Lord, we thank you. We trust in you and all this in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Went on a missions trip this past week, the week before. And one of the themes of our missions trip was the light of God, light that shines in the darkness. And it was really kind of an interesting progression because the week leading up to the missions trip, I preached a message to the youth group that had to do with our identity as the light of the world church, right? That's what our church name means. And so we discussed what some of the implications of that are. And we discussed what it means to be light in this world. And it was kind of cool because our head pastor and I, we were discussing some of the things about our missions trip. And we were deciding what to make our theme. We were deciding what to make our QT verses. And, you know, we're trying to just think about some things. We're throwing some ideas here and there. And our mission trip, we focused on a town called Mo'aka, and it is up on a hill. And it was kind of an interesting thought, or at least in my mind, or probably in his mind as well. But it was cool that the church that calls itself the light of the world, that's our identity, that's the name of our church. We were going, and we were going to kind of spend time and spread the word of God and spread God's love to a city on a hill. They're not really a city. It's like a town on a hill. And it was an interesting thought to us. We were thinking, this is a way that God is bringing these two things together. And while we were on that trip as well, our QT centered on verses that had to do with the light of God. And on one of the nights, all the power went out. All the power went out, and it was just dark. It was dark everywhere. And it was a reminder, again, of the importance of light. It reminded us that when we have light, generally, we take it for granted. We're able to walk very securely. We can see each other. We can identify who are our friends, who are where the dangers are, where the pitfalls are. But when it's dark, it makes you feel uncertain. It makes you walk a little bit more carefully. It makes you a little bit less secure in your surroundings. And so we were reminded of that as we spent a few hours in darkness. But I was thinking about this idea of light, this idea of dark. And I think, in a way, God is kind of revealing some things to me about what a youth group should look like, what a church should look like, what Christians, what believers should be like. And it's all kind of centered around this idea of light and darkness. I had the pleasure, or I don't know if it's the pleasure or maybe the displeasure, of having a conversation with a longtime churchgoer once. And we were discussing things about the church, and it was just general things about church going and about faith, and we're just discussing like, oh, you know, how did you start going to church? What got you into the church building? What made you believe? How did you become a believer in Christ? It was just kind of those conversations. And this person had been going to church for a very long time. And this person started to instruct me on certain things. It's an older individual. And so this person was kind of telling me, you know, in order to be successful at church, in order to have good relationships at church, in order to make it, and not get into any disputes, the best quality to have is to be able to like people or look like you like people even when you don't. And it kind of like perked my ear up. I was like, hmm? They're like, that's the best advice that I could give to you. And then they were kind of bragging about their ability to seem like they like people even when they didn't like them. They're like, that is the secret to getting along with everyone at church. And I was sitting there, and, you know, I was a younger pastor at the time, and this person was earnestly trying to give me good advice. You know, that's how you make it as a young pastor. You have to pretend you like people even if you don't. You have to act like you're going to be, you have to act like you're their friend, even if they don't, you don't get along with them. And I was listening to this, and I was going, oh, okay, this is kind of scary advice. And this person was very proud of the fact that they were able to kind of maintain relationships with this. You know, there are people that I hate in church, but they don't know it because I can put a smile on my face, because I can act like I like them. And that's my secret to fitting into church. That's my secret into never getting into disputes and never getting into arguments with people around me. While I was preparing the sermon, while I was thinking about light and darkness, and while I was reading this chapter, I couldn't help but think of that individual. And I couldn't help but wonder how many people in our churches have that kind of attitude. Instead of thinking about genuineness, instead of thinking about truth, we're just trying to get along. We're trying to be someone. We're trying to act a certain way. I've heard this as well, and it was kind of like a big thing in my youth group when I was growing up. It was kind of the idea of a Sunday face. Oh, that's your Sunday face. Oh, that's your Sunday voice. Oh, that's your Sunday act. And for some reason, it felt like people were kind of encouraging that kind of behavior. They were like, oh, I don't curse on Sundays. That was like a big thing in my church, in my youth group. Oh, we don't curse on Sundays. And it was almost like we were bragging, right? Like, oh, no, I don't curse on Sundays. Oh, I don't listen to secular music on Sundays. And what you're generally saying is, you know, on Sundays, I act a little bit differently than I act not normally. I'm different on Sundays from how I am in my regular and everyday life. And we say it almost as a boast. And it kind of makes me wonder, how does God feel when he sees people like that in church? How does he feel when we brag about those things? Or when we've just developed this sort of mechanism to be able to be successful churchgoers? It's one of the things that I've kind of identified and keyed in on for our youth group. It's something that I've talked to them about. If you know a little bit about our youth group, they're a group that's kind of grown up together. And they, from a young age, you know, last week we spent, they wouldn't go home last week. I was really tired last week, and they just kept sitting in the youth group room, and they were just looking at baby pictures together. And there's a closeness, there's an intimacy in that. They grew up together, they know each other. They've been going to church together for their whole lives, as far back as they can remember. But one of the things that I kind of talked to them about, and that I'm going to continue to stress in our youth group, is whether they actually love each other. Whether they're just familiar with each other, close to each other, comfortable with each other, but whether they love each other. I think that's something that churches need to start asking themselves. You can grow comfortable. You can be close. You can know their background. You can know who they are. You could have spent a lot of time with them, have a lot of shared memories, but that is not love. And sometimes in our churches, we have this thing that's kind of a fake imitation. It's a close replica of what love looks like. And it's built upon common goals, common dreams, common experiences, but it's not necessarily love. And what the Bible says, what 1 John instructs us, is that if we are not loving our brothers and sisters, then we are still in the dark. And that's when we're in the dark, we don't know where to go. We don't know where God is leading us. We don't know where we are. In order to have direction, in order to have security, in order to have an understanding of what God is doing and where God is leading us, we need to have light. But when does that light shine? You have to be loving your brother and sister. Not just tolerating them, not just getting along with them, not just being comfortable with them, but truly loving them. It made me wonder. It made me question myself. I'm leading up to my third year at this church. God has blessed me with 2 3/4 of wonderful years at this church, and I've gotten close to the kids, and I've gotten to know them. I know their little quirks. I know their personalities. I know how they'll generally react to things. And in a way, it made me wonder this week, do I love them? Have I just gotten closer to them, or do I love them? It's something that we need to ask ourselves in our relationships, especially in our churches. What 1 John is teaching us is we have brothers and sisters in Christ. We say it very easily. And one of the things that it kind of reminded me of is while we were in Honduras, that was one of the things that we preached about. That as children of God, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And while we're in Honduras with these people that we've met, you know, just for a few days, even if we've gone for 3 years, we've just seen them for a few days. It amounts to maybe like a week. It amounts to maybe a week and a half of time with them. But for some reason, while we're there, we're like, oh man, I love these people. I can really give my all for these people. I can do whatever it takes. I can run around and embarrass myself. I can stand in the sun for 10 hours straight. I can do whatever it takes to make these kids smile. And when they smile, it brings a true joy to my heart. I really want to do all I can so that they can experience the love of God. I really want them to feel encouraged. I want to support them. I want to do what's right by them in God's eyes. For some reason, we can do that to the people that are in Honduras. And one of the challenges of the church is what do you bring back to your own church? What do you bring back to your own families? What do you bring back to your friends? Do you love them? Do you really care about them? When is the last time you looked at someone that you go to church with and you really saw them as a brother or sister? When's the last time you looked at them and you thought, really, the pains that they're going through, the struggles that they have, I feel that pain inside of my heart. The times that they're rejoicing and they're praising, instead of feeling envy, instead of coveting what they have, that you really join together in praise, join together in worshiping, join together in celebrating with them. The sad reality is that in our churches, maybe even in our church, that's a part that's lacking. We'll tolerate people. We'll allow people to come as long as they fit into our culture. But are we loving them? Do we love them with the love that Jesus Christ gave to us? What leads up to this verse, it's very similar. And it gets me thinking, it makes me think that the author or the biblical author of this chapter, he's thinking of what Jesus was saying. Because he says the same kind of formula. He goes, a new command I give you. And it's not really a new command, but it's an old command. And yet, it's a new command. And what it reminds you of is what Jesus was saying when he's speaking to the disciples, and he says, a new command I give you. Love each other as I have loved you. Love one another. And by this, the world will know that you are my disciples. See, that's the kind of thought that he has. Not with just regular love. Not just the kind of like, oh, I'm supposed to love you because you're my family. But the love that Jesus Christ gives to us. Are we loving our children? Are we loving our family? Are we loving our parents? Are we loving our church members with that sort of love? I think it's time that we start challenging ourselves with the Word of God. to not just hear it, but to really evaluate your life and to think about what it means to you on a daily basis, what it means to you today, right now, and what it's going to mean to you when you see all those people that flood in a few minutes and when we have worship together. Do I love this person? Do I love the people around me? I was driving in Honduras, and driving in Honduras is very scary. It's very stressful. It's one of the things that I worry a lot about before we go on missions. It's all single-lane highway, and when you have to pass on the other side of the road. And you have to be a good driver, and you have to be very smart and aggressive at the same time in order to be a good driver in Honduras. And I like to focus all of my energy on driving. And so I was in the car, our head pastor, in all of his wisdom and great decision-making, he put like all of the Gwonsanims and female Jipsanims in my car, and they talked nonstop for like 5 hours straight. And I was like, you know, I wanted, in my mind, in my perfect idea of driving in Honduras, I just play some praise music, and I just wanted it to be quiet so I could focus on driving. It's like, you know, like, let me do my thing so that I can keep you alive. Right, that was my idea. But I was blessed with the presence of many, many female Chipsanyams in my car, many female deacons in my car. And maybe it was their way of trying to keep me awake or, you know, make sure that I wasn't bored. But they talked to me the whole time. For 5 hours, they talked to me, not just talking, but like addressing me and waiting for like responses. So I was driving and, you know, they were talking. But in the course of that ride, even though at the beginning I was like, oh, I wish they'd fall asleep. Oh, I wish, you know, something would happen so they'd all, you know, be quiet for a while. But during the course of that ride, one of the members in the car felt courageous enough to kind of share a testimony, to share their past experience of church, their past experience with God. And it was really heartbreaking to listen to. And even though in that moment, I know that I was being a little bit selfish and going like, oh, why now? Why can't we talk about this testimony when we're sitting somewhere? But for some reason, I guess God kind of opened up her heart to speak very honestly and openly about the ways that the church hurt her. And I thought about it and I thought, yeah, you know what? That does sound like the church. That does sound like what churches do to people. In so many ways, we look at people and we say, you have to fit into our church culture in order to be accepted. If you want us to reciprocate love, if you want us to love you, then you have to act a certain way. You have to talk a certain way. You have to look a certain way. Is that how Jesus loved us? Are those the things that Jesus said to us? Were those the requirements that Jesus had of us when he died on the cross for our sins? This person was deeply hurt by what the church had done. And it's not an uncommon story. It's because we've grown to become friendly with each other. We've grown to be comfortable with each other, but we haven't grown to love one another. And if we haven't started to love each other, if we don't love our brothers and sisters, then we are a church, we are a group that is walking around aimlessly in the dark. The light of the world has come. The light of the world came to pierce the darkness. Why are we still blind? Why are we still sitting in darkness? Why do we still carry so much disdain in our hearts for the people around us? It's something that we need to change. It's something that we need to fix. It's something that we need the Holy Spirit for. I'm not able to love people unconditionally because I'm human. And because I have imperfect love and I've only experienced human and imperfect love aside from the love of God. So if we're not sharing the love of God with one another, then we're doing it wrong. And even as a body of Christ, no matter how long our church has been in existence, no matter how many good programs we have, no matter how many good things we do, if we're not loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, then we have to reevaluate what we're doing as the body of Christ. It's something that I need to challenge myself with every day. There are people in my youth group that I love. I truly love them. Part of it is because our ideas match and our thoughts match and they listen to me well and they make me happy. There are kids in our youth group that are super unlovable as well. They annoy me. They think differently than me. They say things that are ridiculous. But I have to ask myself, do I love them as a brother and a sister? It's something that we need to start thinking about in our church. Do you love the people in the pew in front of you, behind you? Do you love the people to the left and to the right of you? Do you even know them? As a church of God, as the body of Christ, I hope that we will start walking in light. I hope that we will start taking a step out of the darkness and walk in God's truth. The truth is that the body of Christ needs to love. Not just train, not just teach, not just tolerate, not just be close to, not just be comfortable with, but truly love. I pray that you will wrestle with this thought. I pray that you'll struggle with it. I pray that you'll identify parts of you, even when people come into church today and you meet that person that doesn't fit with you. You meet that person that just annoys you. With the mere sound of their voice, it makes you sweat a little bit. It makes you want to react in bad ways. But ask yourself, Holy Spirit, can you help me to love this person? And the love that you've given to me, can you help me to express it to this person? I challenge you with that today, right now, this week, the following months. And I pray that it'll be something that we think about and that we hold as a cornerstone for our church in the coming years. Let us pray. God, when's the last time your word bothered us? When's the last time we really thought about what it says and allowed it to affect us? Not just to know your word, but to be moved by it. Not just to hear a clever sermon, but to allow the word to really affect the way that we view people and to affect the way that we live our lives. God, not because of cleverness of speech, but Lord, because your word has power. May we be moved today. May we be changed today. Fill us with your love. Give us your eyes. Give us your heart so that we could start loving people the way that you ask us to. Help us to be the real body of Christ. Help us to be walking in light, to love our brothers and sisters, to not sit in the darkness any longer. Bless us with that. Challenge us with that. Convict our hearts. Lord, we thank you, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All together.